This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy or forward it if helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today. The young people are going to their upper room up here. They're going to be learning about healing, as are several other kids' groups, which is very exciting. We'll probably get them to come back in here someday and pray for you. Children often have more faith for healing than we do. And their prayers are shorter, which means you can get a lot more done. So over the last month, I'm David, by the way, and with Alison, we're the senior pastors here, and we want to extend, as well as Anne, we want to extend to you our warm welcome. So this is a bit of family business. If you're a visitor or new here, this won't necessarily make much sense. You're very welcome. I'm sorry you picked this Sunday. But we've been praying over the last month in particular about what God's calling us to in the future. And it's something we do a couple of times a year. We put a month or a week or some time aside to pray and to fast together and just to refocus on what we feel he's calling us to. Because we spend a lot of our energy going outwards and serving our community and talking to our friends about Jesus, from time to time it's worthwhile just thinking about what he's called us to. And so this last month, it's a month of prayer and fasting. Those of you who've had this booklet and have been working through it, the theme is Who is Jesus? And it's a theme that we're following for the whole year, in fact. And I finished it, we finished the last over this last weekend with this prayer. And I invited you to pray for the precious pearl, quoting Matthew 13, 44 to 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. And when he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and he bought it. And as I've been mentioning over the last few weeks, we believe that we have found that the Lord has given us a pearl of great price in Headingley in the form of a building, which we think he's told us to buy. It's going to cost a lot to buy, but we think he's told us to do that and to use that as a place out of which his kingdom can come and can impact Headingley. And we ask you to pray about those things, about who's going to run the project, about how we negotiate our way into this deal, that for his blessing on it, and also to pray about what you may want to give to it when the time comes. Alison and I have been away for the last couple of weeks, so I haven't been on the ground here, but we have received our valuation report, which has come in roughly at what we expected. And when we add on to that the fact that we're going to have to do quite a lot of work on this building, three quarters of it is in poor repair. We're looking at a project in the order of £750,000-£800,000. That's, I think, what we're going to end up doing. So sometime this week, I'll be sitting down with the person who owns the building, and we'll do a deal, hopefully. And from that point on, we'll be working out how we're going to do this. And so at some point in the next few weeks, months, I'll be coming to you with hopefully a video of the building so you can see what it looks like, and you can have people work there at the moment, so it's not appropriate for us all to descend on the place and have a look at it. And I'll be inviting you to think about what you would like to give to this project and how you want to get involved in lots of different ways. So that was the sort of the part of what the significant part of what we feel this year is about and the coming years are about. And our theme is Who is Jesus? And I wanted to connect the two things up a bit. Mark's gospel starts with that pithy sentence, the beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God. The beginning of the good news about Jesus, the Messiah, and the Son of God. And we've been thinking about that all the way through the month with different aspects of who Jesus is. Now, if you don't possess a Bible and if you haven't read Mark's gospel, are the welcome team, are they hearing me? I think the doors are shut. Are they hearing me? There's some Mark's gospels which you're free to take away. We've got a whole bunch out there. If you stick your hand up, we'll put one into your hand. These Mark Gospels. They're just little things, and they'll take you an evening to read, It's written, it's, of all the books in the Bible, it's probably the easiest one to read. It's a biography about Jesus, short and sharp and snappy. It's great, and we're going to be working our way through it over the course of this year and looking at different parts in it. So, let me ask a question, by way of getting to the point, is what are we as a church, as Leeds Vineyard, the people listening on the podcast and the people sitting here today, what are we? What we're not is we're not a bunch of people who think we've got everything right. Okay, we haven't got everything right. You are allowed to have questions and doubts and uncertainties because we, although we're grasping towards the truth and we're making our way, we have not got everything right. We are not the perfect ones. Okay, that's one thing we're not. Another thing we're not is we're not a self-help association. We're not trying to work out how to fix each other with counseling and the latest self-improvement techniques. Okay, that's not what we do. We do help each other, but that's not what defines this group of people. We're not a bunch of do-gooders. We're not trying to change the world just by being nicer to everybody. We want to change the world, but that's not our identity. We're not just going to be the nice people. We're not a religious cult. We're not trying to be so spiritual that we can impress the leader, we can impress God and make our way to heaven that way. We're not that type of religious group either. The Bible uses several metaphors to describe what we are. In Matthew and in Corinthians, it talks about a building, or maybe a temple, which is the main building that the people at that time would have known about, being built. We're parts of a building, bricks in a building, if you like. And another metaphor is of a field. Another is of sheep and shepherds. Another is of the household. Different people playing their different part in a large household, which is the way people lived in those days. And probably the most frequent, well, the one that you'll remember the most, is the body. We're all parts of a body. You know, different people have different roles to play, but we work together as a body, and Jesus is the head of the body. And the one thing that all these metaphors have in one common, and one thing that is the consistent, non-negotiable, indisputable factor about who we are, is Jesus. It's our relationship with him that defines who we are. That's why we call Christians Christ followers. So that's why we want to look at this theme this year, because we want to discover who is this Jesus that defines who we are as a group, as a church. We're a broken people, but we've been called to follow Jesus together for this season, for this time, and in this place. And the church becomes a new family for each of us, within which our relationships revolve around that one relationship with Jesus. For some of you who come from broken families, that is somewhere between a mystery and an unbelievable opportunity. This is a new family, a redefined family. For those of you who come from great families, we have to relearn what family means, because Jesus is now the center of our relationships. So that's what we're doing, and that's our theme for this month of prayer and fasting. And we're reflecting on who Jesus is in these four phases. It's just a way of thinking about it, who he is in terms of existence before time and after time, who Jesus is in the sense that God sent him to encounter the world, walking the dusty roads of Palestine 2,000 years ago, dying for us then, that encounter with mankind, of God with mankind. We're thinking about him in terms of our experience today, that we can know this person, Jesus, through his Holy Spirit in our lives, and many of you would bear testimony to that. And our expectation that he will come back again, that he is going to return. Maranatha, come, Lord, soon. So those are the four dimensions that we're going to be looking at over the course of the year. So, as we've been praying through this last month, we've been going through some of those areas, and we've been looking at some of the names of Jesus, and I've been asking you to pray about what God is saying to us as a church. And as a way of focusing our minds and of making this serious, of telling God, I really want to get close to you on this. I invited you to fast, to swap your screen. You remember, you can fast in any way you like, but the theme for this one was swap your screen. And I know somebody told me that their screen swap was that they stopped watching Pointless in the afternoon, and instead they read the Bible instead. And so that became a pointless month of prayer and fasting. Somebody else stopped watching Simpsons, which was great. For me, I realized that my bit of the screen distraction was just before I go to bed at night. I get my phone out, and I play Sudoku on it or something. And I realized that's stopping me from switching off at the end of the day in a way that reflects my relationship with Jesus rather than playing a silly game. There's nothing wrong with Sudoku. It was a problem for me. So it's been an interestingly difficult thing for me to do, not to do that. I thought it'd be easy, but it's been difficult. But it has helped me. So what I want to invite you to do is to come up and share on the microphone with everybody else what you feel God has said. And let me just frame, because we've got a limited amount of time, so let me just frame how I'd like this to work. First of all, over there on that table, there's some of these sheets, which are just blank pieces of paper. And if what I'd love you to do, if you haven't already done it, is to write down whatever it is you say, or if you don't want to say anything but you're happy to write it down, grab one of these, or you may have a piece of paper is not relevant. You can email it to me. You can text it while we're talking. There's pens and paper there. We want to capture what we feel God said. So come up anytime you like and just grab a piece of paper if that would help. So he may have given you a scripture for the church for this time, in which case I'd love you to come and read it. You don't have to expound it. You don't have to preach on it. Just read it, and then you can see. We'll see if anybody else has a similar scripture or if it's a theme. You may have a prophecy or a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom, something where God gives you something for us. And you can just share that. You don't need to interpret it. You don't need to apply it. You can just share the bit that God gives you. Again, you might have a picture of something, or you might have had a dream over that month and thought, that dream, I think it's significant. I don't know what it means. Just share the dream. You don't have to interpret it or anything like that. But it could be that as you've been praying and as you've been swapping your screen or fasting in whatever way you have, that you felt challenged yourself, that you've got a personal testimony of an experience with Jesus which you'd like to share. I'd love to hear that too, if that's you. And a story perhaps about how you swapped your screen and how that's worked for you. Do you get the idea? Short, sharp, let's share as many as we possibly can. We'll record it on the microphone. If you don't want it to go on to the World Wide Web, just tell Roman at the back. Roman, wave. He's the one waving at the back. And he'll delete your bit from the recording, but there's many people not here who would love to hear it, so we want to make it available to them. So I'm going to pray, and then it's over to you. The Bible gives us some guidelines about how to share when he speaks. He says we're to speak for everyone's strengthening, and to provide comfort, and to encourage people. That's the tone of the way he speaks to us in this sort of setting. Building us up and edifying us. Lord, I thank you for your promises to speak to us and the way you do that, and you reveal your ways to us through each other. And I ask that you will remind us now what you've been saying to us, and help us to discern your will for Leeds Vineyard, this family that follows you. Amen. So, come up. Don't wait. Come. Form an orderly queue. Come and stand beside me. You know who you are? I know he's got one because he sent it by email. So I'm just making sure he doesn't cop out. Let's switch it on. Shall we switch it on? Move your fingers. That would help.
I had Isaiah 58, which is quite well known to lots of us, and verse 12 specifically came to mind one time when I was worshipping, which is, your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. And I was sort of seeking the Lord about that, and I felt there were two things that he was saying. Firstly, that we need to be praying and asking him, where are the gaps in the walls around us? So I had a picture of a wall that was kind of had gaps and broken places and blocks missing. And I felt that God was saying, pray about the gaps. Where are the gaps that he wants us to fill specifically? And the second thing was that I saw us as Lee's Vineyard carrying different blocks to fill the gaps in the walls. And I felt he was saying that some of us don't know that we're bringing a block that is precious and is a gift. Some of us know what we've got to bring, but some of us don't. And it was an encouragement to encourage each other, to point out the gifts that we see in each other, and to that we've all got something to bring.
I think this message follows on quite nicely from what Sally was saying, and it's about personal growth and development. And what God has been saying is that he is God. He's going to make the impossible possible. So let us just shine for him. And that was it.
Amen. I'd quite like it if you would start queuing up, just because it takes time to walk. Especially for Colin, it takes a long time to walk.
That was very pointed, David. Through the month, I felt God lay on my heart two themes, if you like. The first was entitled Little by Little. I was led to the scripture in Exodus where the Israelites have reached the promised land and they're about to enter the promised land, and God begins to advise them on this and says to them, I'm not going to give it all to you at once. I'm going to give it to you little by little. Because if I give it to you all at once, you might be devoured by the wolves or the wild animals that are in the land. I began to think about Headingley and some of the wild animals that might well be out there that we have to face as we move out there. I felt God saying to us that if we want to inhabit Headingley, we have to do it bit by bit. And has led to a quote from Bill Johnson, who writes, God advances his people in accordance with their ability to steward what they're stepping into. In other words, what we're able to do is what God will release to us. The second theme was about new hearts. Again, led to scripture in Mark about new wineskins and the fact that you don't put new wine in old wineskins, you have to put new wine in new wineskins. And I was asking God, what on earth has that got to do with hearts? And he started to say to me, that he's got a whole lot of new for us. He's got a new love that he wants to pour into us for him, for each other, for the people of Headingley. A new fire, a new zeal, a new passion for the lost. And he said to me, but if I pour all those things into your hearts, they won't survive. We need new hearts. We need to allow Jesus to soften and develop our hearts so that they're able to receive all that God wants to pour into them. And finally, I asked myself whether the two were connected. And God said, maybe you'll be able to inhabit Headingley little by little once you've got new hearts.
This is very much God, because I don't come up very easily. I'm very nervous. again, I think this fits in with what's just already been said. Throughout this time, I began to see more clearly that within Headingley, as what's happening wider in the world, our world is really broken in a particular way, was on my heart about difference and certain differences standing out about people and other people judging them. And it's certainly biblical, we're not called to judge each other. And I'm thinking particularly with difference and diversity, and that we can bringing God's kingdom, the kingdom of God, through through celebrating each other's differences rather than drawing on some people are better than other people.
Mm. Amen.
Amen.
So we're at the engine room and we were praying for the new building and what that felt. And I felt that God was saying it'll be a place with doors that are always open, where people will always feel loved, wanted and safe. A place that feels alive. A place where community gathers and spills out from. A place where Jesus is seen in all his glory. And just like Sal, I was given Isaiah 58 verses 6 to 12. Is it okay to read?
Mm-hmm.
It's quite a long, but... So the kind of fasting I want is this. Remove the chains of oppression and the yoke of injustice and let the oppressed go free. Share your food with the hungry and open your homes to the homeless poor. Give clothes to those who have nothing to wear and do not refuse to help your own relatives. Then my favour will shine on you like the morning sun and your wounds will be quickly healed. I will always be with you to save you. My presence will protect you on every side. When you pray, I will answer you. When you call to me, I will respond. If you put an end to the oppression, to every gesture of contempt, and to every evil word, if you give food to the hungry and satisfy those who are in need, then the darkness around you will turn to the brightness of noon. And I will always guide you and satisfy you with good things. I will keep you strong and well. You will be like a garden that has plenty of water, like a spring of water that never runs dry. Your people will rebuild what has long been in ruins, building again on the old foundations. You will be known as the people who rebuilt the walls, who restored the ruined houses.
I'm not much of a scholar, but what I want to say is there's a lot of roads that are coming to Headingley, and God's given me a picture of a chocolate orange. Now, the outside of the orange is a wrapping, so God's taken the wrapping off, which is like the church. But then if you tap the chocolate orange, it goes out into segments, which is like the roads into Headingley. And I feel that not only is that all the roads people are going to be attracted to come here, but there's a good flavour with this Vineyard Church. So it's going to bring prosperity and it's going to bring lots of people here and just going to encourage us all.
Thank you.
Okay, for my fasting, my screen, I decided to leave it behind altogether and go for a walk a couple of times a week because that would give me space away from it and let me talk to Jesus without any distractions. And on one of these walks, I was walking along and I was thinking, you know, why isn't God talking to me? And I sort of got the impression, you know, it's not all about, you know, talking or instructions or learning new things or doing. You know, he's just walking with me and going out for a walk with God. We're just being together like you would in this kind of sense. You know, you don't do enough of this. Just sort of being with God just to be with God. You don't have to be doing anything. The whole point of being a Christian is that we're not called to do, we're called to be.
This is from Micah, chapter 6, verse 8. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. Listen, the Lord is calling to the city.
Okay, so I had an exciting privilege of being involved with the engine room for the first 3 weeks, and I was really struck by how it's the calling of the troops, and you identify yourself as part of the troops when you come to pray, that you actually are saying, you know what, I'm behind the vision, I'm behind the heart of this church, and I'm coming, and it was just like, I was so encouraged by that. And I just want to share a few things that just really came from that for me. From Acts 1, verse 14, it's the message and the good news. They gathered frequently to pray as a group. They agreed they were in this for good, completely together in prayer. Acts 2:46-47. Day after day, they met as a group in the temple, and they met as a group in the temple, and they had their meals together in their homes, eating with glad and humble hearts, praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And every day the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. And in Hebrews 10:22-25, so let's do it. Full of belief, confident that we're presentable inside and out. Let's keep a firm grip on the promises that keep us going. He always keeps his word. Let's see how inventive we can be in encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worshipping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching. And with that, I just want to share some of the things the youth had. God really spoke to them. They came to pray in the engine room, and God just spoke about this new building to them, and I just want to share some of the things that they had. The hills will flow with milk. Leeds Vineyard will be a place of nurture, of healing. The weary and the weak will be strengthened. Innocence will be restored. From the lips of infants will come praise, a place that will be safe for families. The ravines will run with water, refreshment, new life, restoration. Those thirsty for God will draw near. A fountain will flow out of the Lord's house and will water the valley. This was what God gave me. Mountains will drip new wine. God will do a new thing, and everyone in Headingley will see it. It will bring abundance of joy. Vineyard will be a hub. There'll be youth groups there, a contact centre, small groups. It will be used for many things. Let the youth have two or three rooms. They're going to be part of the restoration. You will do the same things as I do, and even greater. I am going to prepare a place for each of you. A picture of a robin in winter surrounded by snow. It's a symbol of life and hope in the winter. A place where Headingley passerbys can't keep out. They'll step in and learn about the Lord. They'll be making decisions that will change their lives. It will be full of life, a home for everyone, a place where people can go to be themselves, a place of happiness and God's love, a place where everyone feels blessed, a place of freedom and release, somewhere people feel encouraged. And I can't find the piece of paper, but I know one of them had a real picture that there's going to be a massive gathering of students, and that students are going to have a massive impact on Headingley for the positive. And they were really excited about that, and they wanted me to share that with you guys.
Is the engine room tonight?
It's on tonight, I think, but I'm not.
Is the engine on room on tonight? Is anybody taking charge of that?
You can meet at our house if you want to.
Come on, Annette.
A couple of weeks ago, I met up with a friend who was setting up an AA group in a village hall. And when they'd set up an AA, Alcoholics Anonymous group, and when they'd gone in there, they'd been told that they weren't allowed to use some certain cups in the cupboard. The women's group that used that had asked specifically that they weren't used. And they felt they felt a lot of prejudice against them setting up this group there. And I really feel that what God is saying to us here in Headingley is that we have got an absolutely wonderfully diverse group of people living in Headingley and visiting Headingley regularly, and that the Vineyard will not prejudice against anybody. We'll have our doors wide open for every single person that wants to come to us to be completely and utterly accepted exactly as they are.
What I want to say is more for the now, to prepare us for the future. I've been reminded of the word in the song, be lifted up, as I bow down, as we bow down, be lifted up. And I just feel like we need to bow down to God so that he can be lifted up. And in particular, obviously bowing down our lives, but bowing down thought processes, and whether we, things like, I can't do it, I'm not good enough, I'm not well enough, I'm too ill, I'm not strong enough, I haven't got a gifting, I can do it on my own, I don't need God, I'm too scared, I don't like change. All of those kind of things, actually we need to just bow them down, because until we bow down, then God can't be lifted up.
Hannah.
I just want to share something about when I first came to Vineyard. I told David that I had a dream. I never got to tell him. But it was a dream of this church being here with all the doors open, the windows open, and where I live across the road, I could see people coming in and out, you know, like a soup kitchen, a place that's open 24 hours a day. Watching the church growing and growing and growing, I didn't see the doors open over this place. But now David revealed that there's a new place going to be opened. So my vision is Vineyard's going to be there as for the community, a soup kitchen, a place for everybody with the doors wide open and all our faces smiling and greeting everybody. And this week through the fasting and praying, I kept hearing that song, "You go before me, you're there beside me. And if I wander, you shall, you know, bring me back home." And as a wanderer, you know, God's really put that in my head. And it's like every morning I've woke up for the past week singing, "You go before me, you're there beside me." And, you know, that song. And then another scripture that keeps coming to my head is Isaiah 41:10. And it says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, and I will uphold you with my hand of righteousness." To me, that's God giving everybody a word saying, he's always there. You don't need to look anywhere else. You don't need to ask anybody else. He's there. He's telling you in his book, "I am your God. I am with you. I will hold you." And he's given us boldness to go out and tell everybody, you know, he's here, his presence is here. We're going to a new building, and I really get the vision. The doors are going to be wide open 24 hours a day, and Headingley is going to change. Right. You know, in the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit come down upon everyone. It's going to be all over Headingley, so get ready.
Amen.
Again, at the engine room, I had this God just saying, "I haven't forgot the things I put on your heart many years ago." And there was a poster from our Steps campaign to raise money for a building in 2007. And we were just looking at some of the things there. I felt God saying, "There'll be a place in Headingley where people can come and encounter Jesus and receive practical help. But that it's not all at once." He said to trust me with the timing and wait for the opportunities that I give you. And just a sense of God saying that he knows how long we've waited for some of these things and that he's been waiting even longer. And that God's heart for Headingley far outweighs our heart for Headingley.
Amen.
The thing that comes to my mind is something God's been speaking to me about recently, which is there's a time for all things. And for me, you'll see where I'm going in a second. 53 years, I was living with things in my body in the wrong place. I was born with things in the wrong place, and nobody knew about it. 53 years. And then a light was switched on, and it made me understand so many things in my life. And I thought, well, what do I do with that story? And recently, through a charity called the Congenital Diaphragm Hernia Charity, right, I felt it's time to share my story. So I put it on their website. And I got so, I was just saying, you know what, your kids are being born with this stuff. They're in a terrible state. But do you know what? There's a way through. There's a way through. And I shared this stuff. I had so much come back to me. Thank you for sharing it. We're going to read these words over our children. Stuff like that.
I didn't really want to do this. But one of my prayers was that this year that if the Holy Spirit prompted me to do something, that I do it unhesitatingly. And so here I am. Note to self, be careful what you pray for. And I also made an agreement with myself, which you're not supposed to do, to come up here if nobody mentioned the word money, and it would seem that none of the others have actually referred to the money part of the project that we're embarking upon. Only God and Teresa know that in August 2014, I started to pray and to plead with God for £1 million. And I just got totally frustrated that out there in the world, there is more and more piles of money that is not available to us for the church and for other charitable work. And I just felt it was right, under God's guidance, to continue to pray and plead and petition over the last 2.5 years for that £1 million. So why am I here talking about it now? Well, we're about to embark upon a project that's going to cost 800,000, maybe £1 million, and we need to unlock the resources that are available out there. We need to pray that God will provide the money. Whether or not we know where it is, whether or not it's in our possession, or whether we have no idea whatsoever where this is going to come from, we need to ask God for the money that we need for this project and for all the work of Leeds Vineyard. And so if you pray for nothing else in the coming weeks, I just ask that you will pray that God releases money for this project.
Okay, so I had a dream type picture, and it was just, I think it was just a confirmation of what we're doing, that we're on the right tracks. It was two sort of images. One of like a tent canopy thing over the church, overheading the Methodist church, and it had extended over the road onto the thoroughfare outside Greg's and that whole area where we do the hots. And then the other second image was of the same sort of canopy over the new building, but it wasn't, there was no extension because it wasn't up and running, but it was just over it, but over it, and then a bit like when you put a piece of pastry over a pie, it was over it and then extending, not up extending, but just looked like it covered a large area around the building. And so when it was actually erected, when the tent was up, it would cover a large piece of ground. And the text was that I was drawn to was Isaiah 54, which is, enlarge the place of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. I think that the tent is extending, and yeah, we're on the right tracks.
And I'm trying to join the two. I think God's saying two things. One about being at the source, like being at the source of him. And the other is hunger, and that there's lots of people who are not only spiritually but physically hungry, and that there's really that's really important. So with this water feature, the idea is that water comes out of the wall, comes down and splashes onto like pebbles. And there's lots of ways that that could work. Either the water, it comes down and when it lands, it like splashes out off the stones and it reaches out, out, out. So it's not just in the place, it's out. But then we also had another idea, what Phil was saying about the stone could have a hole through it, so the water could come up through it, and then you know the way that the water like spreads out over. And so it was really in line with what a lot of people have said about feeding. I think feeding the hungry is really important, and also being in that place where the water can flow and it comes through you, and then it also goes out, 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 and trickles. And sometimes it can be like a little tiny trickle. And that might be at first, like it might be trickling, and we think, oh, it's not as big and it's not reaching as far as we want it to reach. But it might come that at some point, it starts as a trickle, but then it might come and it's going to rush and it's going to go, whoa.
Great stuff.
Makes sense.
Yes. Fantastic. Thank you. Okay. If you've shared something, and please could you write it down on a piece of paper or email it to me or something? And if you would love, you've got something, but you just haven't had the courage to come up today, still want to hear from you, please. Why don't you stand? We're going to pray. I'm going to ask these guys to pray for us. We have to pray about the money.
Heavenly Father, we thank you that you created this world and that you own this world, and that all the resources of heaven are available to us. And we pray now for this project that Lee's Vineyard is embarking upon, and for the general finances of our church, and say, please release those funds. Amen. Please release monies that we know about, monies that we can't possibly comprehend where they're going to come from. Yeah. Right now we say, please do it, Dad.
Amen. And we thank you, Lord, for the promises you've given us through these words that have been shared and the direction you're taking us. We trust you to provide, and we commit ourselves to obediently following you wherever you crazily take us. And we know that you come to bring your healing and your wholeness and your restoration. So we're just going to spend the last few minutes just inviting the Holy Spirit to come and to bring his healing. And some of you respond, I felt God speak to you through what John and Hannah were saying. And this is your opportunity to receive healing and to receive a fresh start, to have his Spirit fill you and change you and transform you within your circumstances. So, John, would you pray over us?
I just want to say, come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Yeah. Come on. Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Yeah, for that, just for those of you who've just been burying things, you've been sitting on stuff for years, and you don't know where you fit in. I just want to say, come on. I just call it out right now. Pray for a new time. Now's the time. Now is the time. Don't sit on it anymore. Now is the time. Thank you, Jesus.
God, I just thank you that we're not good enough on our own, and that's completely okay. But what's not okay is when we get in the way of you. So I just pray that every person here can just bow down to you right now, whether that's things in their lives, whether it's giving their lives to you for the first time or for the 100th time, whether it's giving, you know, new things that they do day by day, giving their time, giving their resources, giving their thoughts to you, God. And just, it can be a really hard thing when you break the pattern and break habits in our minds of, I'm not good enough, I'm too scared, I don't know my giftings, I can do it on my own, I don't need God. Whatever it is, God, thank you that you can break those thought processes. And I just pray right now that we can all just bow down to you, so that when we bow down to you, you can be lifted up, both individually and as a whole church, that we bow down so that you can be lifted up. Amen.
Freedom in the name of Jesus. We declare freedom over captives. Freedom, freedom, freedom in Jesus' name. Oh, Holy Spirit, we love you all.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your promises. Thank you for your healing power. And we give you this whole thing. We give you our lives, and we give you our hopes and dreams, and what you've called us to. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, we're out of time. If you would like us to pray for you, we'd love to have an opportunity to lay hands on you and just to bless what God's doing, especially in response to what these guys are praying for. Just go up to the front, up to this, my right, your left-hand side, and I'll get somebody to pray with you. Otherwise, please go and get your children and have a great week. See you next Sunday. Thanks for coming to the Vineyard today.